coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Thursday morning, a beautiful Thursday morning, live from Saratoga. Seth Merrow here on the right in front of Clare Court set. Happy you joined us on this Thursday morning. As I say, a gorgeous morning that I think will turn into a nice afternoon. Not as much humidity as the last few days. A little breeze, plenty of sunshine, and a nice racing card as well. Always want to remind you, low rollers today. Again, this season, Thursdays and Sundays, $40 will get you in over on the front side. 30 goes into the prize pool, 10 goes into the prize pool, 30 goes onto a card. You make five win, place, and show bets throughout the day, and the person in the lead takes down the majority of that prize pool. They've been getting about 200 people, so there have been a couple thousand in the prize pool. Again, the entry booth is over in that carousel restaurant area in the back of the grandstand. Highly recommend it Thursdays and Sundays this year for the low rollers. I also want to remind you tonight, Andy Serling. The radio show down at the Parting Glass, good lineup of guests tonight, and that kicks off at about 8 o'clock. Get there early so you get a seat. And the Jockey basketball game, Jockeys versus Horsemen, 6:30 this year, a new location, the Y, over on West Avenue. So swing on by 6:30. It's always a lot of fun benefiting the racetrack chaplaincy. Coming up on today's show, a little bit later on, we'll be joined by Rusty Arnold, who has the very imposing Concrete Rose in the Saratoga Oaks tomorrow. We'll talk about that and more. A little bit later on, Mike Welch from the Daily Racing Forum. We'll hit on some of the stakes coming up over the next few days and into the weekend. But happy to be joined now by our friend Tim Wilkin from the Times Union. Tim, good morning. Good
morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. I'll ask how you are, because I know you're out here early and you stay late. Give us a typical Tim Wilkin day.
Oh, up at 5:15, 5:30, hopefully up here between 7 and 7:45. At the barns till 11, go up to the press box, and it's usually dark when I leave.
you're usually in there. I'm usually one of the last in there because I'm trying to finish up prep work for this, and you're always there after me, so yeah. In early and out late.
The big question, though, is are you returning to the basketball court tonight?
No, I told them I was too far down the bench last year, so I'm just watching this year.
If I ain't starting, I ain't departing.
That's right. I had Fletcher in last year. And he's a coach with Kieran. It's a lot of fun. Cordero coaches the Jockeys, and Fletcher and McLaughlin coach the Horseman's team. And I had Fletcher in like 3 days later, and so he sat down, and we started the show. And I said, yeah, the first question, why didn't I play more?
Hey, you need a better agent.
I said, no, I get it. I'm the old guy on the team. I get it. But the old guys are a little craftier, because part of the reason that the horsemen have gotten beaten the last 2 years, nobody gets back on the fast breaks, and those jockeys are quick.
They're in shape. And some of them can actually play
a little absolutely.
Bit, you know? Yeah. I mean, and they usually get a ringer or two in there, I think.
Oh, they have one this year. I forgot who it was, but they had a pretty good one this year. I'm being told, who is it? Charles Smith, they do have another ringer in there, former NBA player. So
we'll take winners.
Exactly. I like that.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit also, because over the last few years we've lost a couple of your colleagues, obviously Matt Graves and Mike Jarbo, but talk a little bit about, you and I both remember the press box up here being a little bit different, and just the racing game in general doesn't get the coverage it used to. And talk about the times when you go into a sports department or a newspaper and everybody was into horse racing. And unfortunately, it isn't that way anymore. And that's, I think, a lot of the reason why we don't get the mainstream coverage anymore.
I mean, you used to, you're right. I mean, yesterday, for example, I looked around the press box, even the local papers, I think ours was the only one that was there all day. There was no one there from the Gazette, the Post Star, the Saratogian, which was just mind-blowing to me. I mean, you see a lot of empty seats up there. You used to get people in here from Boston on a fairly regular basis. You'd get guys in here from Rhode Island. It was a beat that everyone, Saratoga was a beat that everyone covered. And unfortunately, you know, the way the newspapers are now, you just don't have the staffing to do it. And, you know, horse racing really is, and I don't know why, but it's lost some of its popularity. Not to me. I mean, I still think it's the greatest game played, but, you know, you just don't, other than the Triple Crown, you don't see a lot of people really investing their time in the races. I mean, you used to be able to go to Belmont Park in the 60s and 70s, before my time, but there'd be 30,000 people there on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of other ways that people can game now, but still, people just don't go to the track. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I wish the coverage was better, but the people that do cover it, I think they put their heart and soul into it, and I think the people around here in this area really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's our big league, and so we do get local coverage up here as compared to, as I say, it's kind of faded away as the sports department have lost the fans in the sports department, unfortunately. But things like they do the Fox MSG show now, I think that's a great way to kind of evangelize.
And they
the
do
game.
A great job with that.
They do.
They
do. I mean, it's 3 hours a day up here, and so that, as I say, is a great way to evangelize for the game and hopefully pull some people in and kind of build that steam back up. So and it's not just horse racing. I mean, as you said, the newspaper game has changed, and a lot of people, you know, as you went out on the internet and things changed from print to the internet, a lot of people just kind of shrugged their shoulders. Well, I can get my information here or here, but I think they don't realize that you don't want it to just go out to the fans. You want that mainstream coverage that spreads the word among all sports.
Sure,
fans.
Sure, absolutely. I'm telling you, people out there, buy the newspapers. I want to keep my job.
And you do a great job up here. I was going through some of your articles last night, and you had a great lineup of stories. And one of them I'll let you mention. We'll tie it in a little bit later on the three-year-old scene. We'll talk about that as well. But King for a Day, a horse I liked and had the trouble in the Haskell. You talked to Pletcher about him. They're still on the fence as far as the Travers.
He's still on the fence. I mean, that's the way that's what he does. He waits for the horse to get back to the track and work. He's in no hurry to make a decision. I think if the horse does well, I think he will bring him back. I mean, King for a Day did beat Maximum Security in the Pegasus, and he did have the incident at the quarter pole where Johnny had to check a little bit, but I don't think that was going to cost him the win. I think he might have been backing up anyway. But I think Todd, you know, he likes to be in these races. And, face it, it's good for the game when Todd Pletcher has a big horse in the Travers. And then we still got to wait and see what Maximum Security is going to do. I mean, talked to Jason Service on Sunday, and he's in no hurry to get him up here. And at first it was like he was going to come up this past week. Now he's going to stay down in Jersey. He might, if he's going to run. And he said, and Jason is adamant, saying if the horse is good, he's not going to duck anybody. I mean, a lot of people are saying he's going to wait till Parks to run in the Pennsylvania Derby. But if he comes up here, I don't think it's going to be until early in Travers week, Monday or Tuesday. They'd have to be on the ground by Wednesday. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Maximum Security, who is owned by Gary West, who also owns Game Winner from Bob Baffert. And he's, last time I talked to Bob on Tuesday night, he said that he was still ready and raring to come with him. And he's also not closing the door on Mucho Gusto, who was second in the Haskell, which surprised me a little bit. So we'll see.
Well, he certainly does well when he comes up here. One of the things also, you wrote a nice article, obviously. There was a lot of coverage of it, the passing of Mary Lou Whitney, but you wrote a nice article, and let's talk a little bit about her, because over the years, you became kind of personal friends with her.
Go figure.
And I think we actually have a shot I pulled out of the TU of you and Mary. There you go, down in Mary Lou's box.
Yeah.
And you kind of, your column was funny because I'd heard the story already. But there was an annual kind of tradition in the handicapping box in the TU on Whitney Day, and that tied into a little side bet. Relate some of that.
Yeah, we always had a side bet. And Mary Lou, trust me,
took it real serious.
And she was the guest handicapper on Whitney
every Whitney Day. I mean, she took it serious. She wanted nothing more than to beat me. She was almost vicious in the press box. in her box on Whitney Day. Always in good fun, though. And we'd always have a friendly wager. If I lost, I had to do something for them out at the backstretch thing they did for the backstretch workers every night. One night I had to call. I lost, of course. I had to call Bingo with Tom Durkin, and God bless Mary Lou. She and John, they showed up. They were sitting in the front row. Mary Lou just staring at me, laughing as I was going through the Bingo calls with Durkin. But last year I won. It was actually in the test stakes. I had separation of powers. That was the only winner either of us had. So I won 1-0. So I got to get a dinner with John and Mary Lou. And it was a lot of fun. We went to Morton Steakhouse, and she paid off her debt. And the stories that she would tell, I mean, my goodness, of the old days at Katy Hill with the parties they'd have there, and like people like John Wayne rumbling through there, and, you know, just a lot of fun. I mean, there was another Mary Lou Whitney story that I got a big kick out of. A couple years ago, they won a race at Saratoga, and I went down to the winner's circle just to congratulate them. And Mary Lou and John said, you got to come to the trustees room with me. And I said, me? And they said, yep. So I went into the trustees room with them, and at this table, it's John and Mary Lou and two of their friends who, you know, and me. But who doesn't fit in that picture, right? But Mary Lou insisted that I sit next to her, and she just told stories and stories and stories. Just a wonderful storyteller. Just a wonderful person. I mean, I really thought she was going to live forever because she was just, I mean, her body was getting older, but her mind was always really, really sharp and always had the twinkle in her eye, and she loved to have fun, and, you know, such a loss for the area, and especially, you know, up here, everything that she did for everybody. I mean, you know, people don't realize that, you know, if there was an exercise rider that went down, John and Mary Lou, they were stepping up to make sure that they had the right care, and, you know, they really, really, really took care of the people that put this game on. And Mary Lou loved the horses. She just loved the horses. She told me stories about some of those parties they would have, and they'd be going out to watch workouts in their evening gowns, you know, never went to bed. But it was just, and that was a different time, you know. That's it's an end of an era and a sad time that she's not here. And the fact that she's going into the Hall of Fame tomorrow, I really wish she would have made it to that. I really do. But, you know, a lot of memories that a lot of people have of this fine woman.
Yeah, as I say, your article was nice and a lot of fun, and I think a lot of people reading the articles about her over the past week kind of had the chance to realize just how important she was to the game, the city, the backstretch people, and will be sorely missed. But it's great that tomorrow she gets honored at the Hall of Fame, and Saturday on Whitney Day she's going to be honored here as well. Appropriate.
Right.
Let's talk a little Whitney. Get some thoughts on the Whitney. It was drawn the other night at a rain-soaked Sperry's.
Yeah, that was something. That was something.
Boy, they just got the draw in, and as soon as the draw was over, the skies kind of opened up. Maybe appropriate this year.
It was Mary Lou saying hello.
That's right. A little bit of a smorgasbord of weather, which it has been up here. While we talk, I'm going to pull up the Santa Anita Gold Cup from May 27th, Todd Pletcher shipped Vina Rosso out. Vina Rosso will be the number 7, winning by 3/4 of a length over pretty talented horse, Gift Box. So Vina Rosso comes in nicely. But Mackenzie clearly going to take a lot of action. Thunder Snow, I think, is going to get some attention. Yoshida, Preservationist for Jimmy Jerkins. In a switch of plans, Jimmy Jerkins, I think, originally out of the Suburban, was saying onto the Woodward.
Yes, he was.
So that's interesting. But what are your thoughts in the Whitney?
You know, you look at the two heavy hitters really here. It's Mackenzie and Thunder Snow, who might be two of the best two-turn runners in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, they are that good. But, you know, I think that Vino Rosso's coming into his own. I mean, he sort of had a disappointing three-year-old season. The last race he ran as a three-year-old was the Travers, and then they put him on the shelf, and Todd Pletcher and Mike Rapoli and Vinny Viola and the whole camp were confident that he was going to get better as he got older, and now he's 4, and you know, he's that race at Santa Anita stamped him as, I think, one of the ones. I mean, I think you in this race you're going to have the top 4 runners that are in the Breeders' Cup Classic poll right now. So, I mean, it's a very, very good race, competitive race, and, you know, I still haven't made my picks yet, but I was just talking to Uriah St. Louis this morning.
Forewarned.
I don't know if you remember him from last year. He brought Discreet Lover up here, and the hopeless long shot. He finished third in the Whitney, and he was up the track in the Woodward, and he won the Jockey Club Gold Cup. And, you know, when I left Uriah St. Louis this morning, I'm convinced he's going to win the Whitney. You know, he says he's not here to lose. He thinks he's got a chance. I said, well, you never run in a graded stake before. It doesn't matter. He's a good horse. I don't think he's got a chance at all. But, you know, he's here. He's a good guy. He's fun to talk to. He's good for the game. And it's nice to get the little guys a chance in these big races. But, you know, I think the winner's got to come from either Thunder Snow, McKenzie, Preservationist, who, you know, Jimmy Jerkins said that, he was going to go to the Woodward, but, you know, he said he's doing so well now, you never know what can happen between now and the Woodward. Let's run him when he's good. And, you know, he's got to be in the mix, I think. It's an intriguing race, and I think if you miss this one, you're going to miss one of the better races of the Saratoga season.
Very much so. And you talked about one of the better races of the season. And little guys, that ties in nicely. I just wanted some of your thoughts on this past weekend because we had some great performances. The sprint side, Imperial Hint and Louis Carvajal, we had him in on Sunday. Again, one of those guys that's easy to root for. And with the track record, his name will now be printed for you would think, quite a while, unless Chancelot comes back next year in the Vanderbilt, because Chancelot looked great in the Amsterdam on Sunday, and then on the three-year-old side, Taxed and Highest Honor, although in both of those races, the second-place finishers, Endorsed, I thought, got some buzz, and Tacitus, of course, with the stumble as well. What were your thoughts over the weekend?
I agree 100% with that. Tacitus, I think, was the best horse in the Jim Dandy. You know, he had that unfortunate stumble, and then he raced on the dead rail coming home, and which is the place you did not want to be in that race, but he ran a big race. You know, usually a horse stumbles out of the gate like that, they don't finish. They don't even get back into the race. It just shows you how much talent he has. I mean, Endorsed for Kieran in the Curlin. I mean, I don't know if they're convinced that they want to go on to the Travers. They're going to make a decision, you know, like they all are, and he might wait for Parks. And like Global Campaign, who was third in the Jim Dandy, I talked to Stanley Huff yesterday, and he's on the fence. He's going to wait for the horse to work a little bit to see what he wants to do with him. But you're going to have horses that come back. I mean, Code of Honor's waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
And that's a horse that people might have forgotten a little bit about, but boy, he was slam dunk in the Dwyer.
Yeah,
and
that was a
and
really
he's back. And, you know, the Travers is going to be a good race, no matter who shows up. But I just hope Maximum Security comes up. I hope War of Will goes too, because that'll just create the buzz from what happened at the Derby, and it'll be interesting to see if Gary West comes through on his threat to the big money payout if, you know, these horses that are going to beat his horse. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be for great drama in the next month or so.
Yeah, looking forward to the Travers, certainly, and played into it with the 2 3-year-old races this last weekend and a great weekend of racing. Last weekend, great weekend of racing coming up. You do great coverage that people can follow. Hard copy of the Times Union. You can also catch Tim's work online. And, of course, pick it up every day for the OTB versus Times Union Challenge, where you guys are putting us to the mat. I think we're talking 9-2-3 at this point.
Yeah, but it's early, Seth. I mean, I remember a couple years ago, you guys had us by like 12 or 13, and we came back and rallied and made it interesting at the end. It's, I mean, I think that 9-3-3, I don't know what it is, but Sully Crotty and I are going at it today, and, you know, it's fun. It's fun, and I think that Before it's over, it'll tighten up a little bit.
Yeah, and again, highly touted to pick up a copy of the Times Union. Follow us every day and see who gets who as we progress through the rest of the meet. We do have to make a little run here, though, before it gets too late, because I don't want you to to get too far ahead.
We don't want to be called Chief Speed either.
Tim, as always, appreciate the visit again. Tell people to pick up the Times Union or catch your work online, because, again, Tim's here early and stays late, and that's for great coverage throughout the entire meet up here at Saratoga. Tim, appreciate the visit.
Thank you, Seth.
All right, we'll take a break. Rusty Arnold, again, tomorrow in the Saratoga Oaks. The formidable Concrete Rose. Stay tuned. All of that right after this.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contest, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money. No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Seth Merrow on the set, joined now, as promised before the break, by Rusty Arnold. Good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Before we start, how'd you get the nickname Rusty?
My middle name's actually Russell, and My mother changed it to Rusty. So
so you've been going by that your whole life?
My whole life.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. As you sat down in the set, you were commenting on Clare Court and how beautiful it is out here. We marvel at it every morning. I mean, I come here every morning. I never get tired of it. But you mentioned your first visit to Saratoga.
Yeah, 1982, I brought Wavering Monarch for the Travers, and I was in John Beach's barn back here, and we trained from here. We ended up not running. We got scratched. He'd won a Haskell, and we didn't get to run, but it was the last time I was stabled over here.
And nice. And again, it is a great spot.
Beautiful.
A little early in the morning.
Every time I look at this, I think Alan Jerkins.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We were lucky enough to have him on a few years back, but that was fun to have a conversation with the chief, certainly. And there are great stories about him back here in touch football.
This was his place.
Yeah. Certainly, this place is full of those kind of memories, and that's the beauty of it. Let's talk a little bit about Concrete Rose. Goes in the Saratoga Oaks tomorrow. She is 5-for-6 so far in the career. Going to pull up the Belmont Oaks from July 6th. She's going to be the number 4 horse in here. Wins just wonderful second. Cambier Park runs third in here. Again, this ran a record to 5 wins in 6 starts. Talk a little bit about this performance, expectations coming up on Friday afternoon in the Saratoga Oaks as well.
Well, obviously, as the year's gone, her expectations are getting higher. She started out with a filly, showed us a lot of talent. You never know until they get it done in the afternoon, and she won at 5.5. And she was a very, very nice 2-year-old filly that has turned into a very special 3-year-old filly.
Yeah, this is an impressive performance. Yeah. Are you off of that a level of confidence going into Friday?
I don't think you're ever confident. I think you try to get them over here the best you can, and then it's up to the little bit of racing luck and how things go. But she's trained really well, and we think we're getting her over here in a good state.
Do you feel is there an added level of confidence in that she won up here last year, so always has already performed well at Saratoga?
Well, she's won at 5 different racetracks, so I don't. She's won at Tampa, here, Belmont, Churchill and Keeneland, so I don't think where you take her bothers her.
Her only loss, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Turf last year, which clearly looking at the page looks like a wild aberration. Your explanation or your thoughts, do you have an explanation for that one?
We left it to the track. It rained about 2 inches before the Breeders' Cup down there. We were on the inside. Churchill's turf drains outside the inside. We thought we had the worst of it. She was in the race till about the 3/16th pole, and it just flattened out, and we put her away, and we didn't think we were wrong. We thought we had a really nice filly, and now she's come back the way we thought she would.
And again, it looks like a complete aberration on the page, and what we've seen this year has kind of validated that. Just reading some info last night, fill us in on the beginnings of Concrete Rose. She was bought at a two-year-old sale last year in May for a relatively modest $61,000, and it sounds like part of the ownership family, the ownership group, bloodstock agent in there kind of picked her out, and as I say, got her for a relatively modest $61,000.
Yeah, Bo Bromigen, who is at Ashbrook Farm, it's the son, he worked for me for a while, then he worked for David and Gordo, still does work with David and Gordo, and they picked her out together at Timonium. I never laid eyes on her. They bought her and put her on a van the next day and sent her to me, and I'm just lucky enough that she fell into my hands.
And I also read that last year, about this time, maybe a little bit earlier than this time, you were still kind of trying to decide who goes to Saratoga from your Kentucky base, and you took a look at her and decided she's going.
Yeah, well, my wife Sarah and I had gone up to Churchill and watched all the babies go one morning, and she saw her and said, I want her, and put her on a van, sent her to Saratoga.
And then came up here, and as they say, last year, maiden debut winner at 5.5 furlongs. And it's interesting because that is the only one-turn race on the career. So were you thinking that debut was going to be that kind of a performance, or were you looking for longer for later in the career?
I was probably looking a little longer. That came up a very competitive race. Alan Goldberg had a filly in there they really liked. Wesley Ward had a filly they liked. I just wasn't sure she was fast enough. I know I heard somebody say when I ran her back at Keeneland in the stake, well, we don't know if she'll go two turns. I said I was surprised she sprinted. I wasn't concerned she'd go two turns. She's a great big leggy filly. She's out of a Pirates Court mare. I wasn't worried about the distance, and that just is to me a show of talent when they can go 5.5 and they probably don't want to do it.
Yeah, that was a very nice debut performance at 12-1, and as you alluded to, you followed up in the Jessamine, if I'm pronouncing that right, because I've been corrected on
Jessamine, because it's Jessamine County.
I've been corrected on that a couple of times. I'm a New York State guy. What do I know about Kentucky? But came back in the stake in the second career start, which again indicates the confidence you had in her early in the career.
Yeah, after that, and it was a really good race, and then she just trained fabulous after that. And you're trying to get into a winning you're in at that point, and that was the one we went to.
And again, now 5-6, and in this Saratoga Oaks tomorrow. You also have coming up on Saturday, wanted to touch on Leinster, am I pronouncing that correctly?
That's correct.
In the Troy, and I pulled up a replay for Leinster going back to Churchill Downs, June 28th. Leinster's going to be the number 3 horse. Give us your thoughts coming out of this one, and now what brought you up here to the Troy?
Well, Leinster's much improved horse, however he's going to need to be. He's only sprinted twice on the turf. He's won them both. He's been pretty impressive in both of them for going short, but he hasn't faced what he's going to face here on Saturday. This is a different group. Came up a small field. He's doing well, and we just decided to give him a chance.
Yeah,
and we're going to see where we fit.
You're going against the monster in World of Trouble.
There's him and a couple of Christoph's horses are very, very good horses, but there's 6 horses in it. We came here to run, and we can always go back in an allowance race, and we just wanted to give it a chance, see where we belong.
This will be the stakes debut, but certainly off the couple of races most recently down at Keeneland and Churchill, looks like it's a good spot
take a chance. And, you know, we're going to be looking at a different direction after this race that some of these people won't be looking. I think we're going to go to Kentucky Downs, and we just want to see how they fit.
As you put this one on the radar, the Grade 3 Troy, did you think you would see World of Trouble in here?
We knew he was going. Yeah.
They had made their plans. Yeah, that's true.
We knew he was going.
They had said they were going to shoot for the Troy.
That's why there's 6 horses in it.
Yeah. Again, it's going to be a really interesting race, and yours is getting a little bit of a test. I wanted a little update on a couple other runners. to see where they might be going next. One was a winner here earlier in the meet, Baracho. We're going to watch that one. This goes back to July 21st. Allowance optional claimer. Baracho is going to be the number 8 horse. Pretty nice win. Chart margin length and a quarter, length and 3/4 at 2-1 favorite. So with a win at the meet, early in the meet, Baracho coming back here. What's up next for Baracho?
Baracho, I thought it was a really good race. He beat older horses. We were the only 3-year-old in the race. Our plans is to run in the Alan Jerkins. Now, I hadn't seen this Chancelot run at that time, so I don't know. We thought we would fit. Steve Asmussen and I finished right next to each other in the Woody Stevens. I think he beat us a neck. And he was second to that horse, but that horse, he was a different league than we are, I think. So we'll kind of see what he's going to do with him, probably.
Yeah, that was an eye-popping performance.
Oh, it was impressive.
On Saturday. One other one that I wanted to get a little update on from earlier in the meet, and this replay may be tough for you to watch. Tough for me, too. I like the horse and played it. But going back to the Caress, again, from July 21st, watch the number 5 Chicklet and Morticia, who, boy, she just had all kinds of trouble in the stretch and may have been best in there, but just could never get free and winds up a dead heat third. Again, Morticia, the number 5. But I'm wondering what's up next for her. I mean, you have to come out of this as I did, and you can see she's right behind horses, just can't get, and right there is going to make a good move, just can't get free and winds up dead heating for third. But you have to feel at least a level of confidence moving forward, given that this was a nice looking performance with all the trouble. But what's next? Is there something up here, or maybe Kentucky Downs for
her? I'm going to run her here. That was a race I was confident in, and things just didn't go good. That's it was a rough trip. Tyler made a decision to tuck her in, and when he did, they tucked her in well for him then, and he just couldn't get out. Sometimes other people get a bad trip. She got a bad trip, so I'm going to run her back here in a Smart and Fancy. She was cut up a little bit, scratched up, not bad, all superficial. She's back training now, so if all goes good, she'll run back here. She's doing really well.
Yeah, as I say, it's a handicapper. I liked her, and I kind of liked the trip. He's kind of saving ground, and usually getting the stretch and things will kind of open up, but sometimes they
spread
don't.
Out, and sometimes they don't, especially on turfs on the sprint, because you don't have a lot of time to wait, and it just was one of those races that happens.
Let's talk a little bit about you. Again, reading bio information, some people get into the game. The trainers I have sit here, they sneak under the fence when they're 12 and fall in love with it, but it seems like you come from a horse racing family.
Yeah, my grandfather was a broodmare foreman at Elmendorf Farm, and my father bought his own place before I was born. I grew up on a farm in Lexington. I kind of gravitated to the racetrack because I liked the action more, and got the opportunity to work for Gene Euster after I worked for my dad, and they're putting his mare in the Hall of Fame Friday, and I'm really proud of him. I didn't work with My Juliet, but I worked for him after he had her, and he was a really good horseman, taught me a lot, and I stuck with the racetrack. I dropped out of college after 2 years, probably a mistake, but it worked. Back then, you could do that.
And home base, Keeneland?
Home base is basically Keeneland, and we go to Palmetto's in the winter, and we come here now, which is stretching and stretching on days, so we're here 2 months now, which we love it here.
Yeah, and Keeneland, I believe you're sitting top 2 or 3 as far as all-time wins down there, so very successful down here. And talk a little bit about Saratoga. Keeneland, obviously, I've only been able to get there once, but a beautiful track and certainly worth the visit and has its own kind of aura around it. But talk a little bit about coming up here to Saratoga, how special this place is, and not just the track, but just the entire town is so into it.
Yeah, the town's been special to us. I mean, I would like to duplicate my success at Keeneland to here, which I haven't done, but it's tough here. Yeah. I mean, everybody's ready. They bring them. We don't bring a lot of horses, but it's not a vacation. It's not even a working vacation, but we love the town. We've lived in the same house for 20-some years. We walk through the town. We love the restaurants, and the whole environment's good. The fan base is fabulous. They're here for the enjoyment of the horse and the sport, and we really like the experience here.
And I've said it a couple of times since the weekend, and we see it a bunch of times during the meet, and I mention it. The fans here are also so knowledgeable. The other day when Imperial Hemp broke the track record, they brought him back and walked him close to the fence right in front of, and everybody applauded, and you just as a racing fan, you get chills in moments like that when you realize it's a big crowd who's so into it, so knowledgeable, and play into the game.
They do here, and Keeneland's a little bit that way, and here they come for the sport of the horse.
Talk a little bit about, as a trainer, what do you like best about the training side of the game?
Well, I wished it was more of a sport. It's turned into a little bit more of a business than it used to be. I'm obviously in the end of my career, towards the end of it. I don't envy the younger guys. It was a lot more fun when I got started. I still have fun at it, but it's only because I can relax now. But the guys that are fighting it out now, it's a little tough.
Yeah, the game certainly has changed since I've come in, just on the fan handicapping side of the game, too. Yeah. But you mentioned an aspect that I try to bring up every once in a while, trainers, when we're here at Saratoga, and we can have a little bit more of a conversation just to make it clear to other fans and handicappers. Being a trainer these days really is a small business because you've got the employees and all everything that comes with that and equipment and things that have to be moved, scheduling, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, I don't envy the big guys that move around 200 horses. I'm glad I don't have that job. I'm in all of them, actually, how they get it done. I'm in the middle of the road. I have enough, and it's a big business moving them around than what we used to do. You have to move your help. It used to be very easy to bring your people here for 4 weeks. It was easy to find places to rent for your riders and your assistants. 8 weeks, people don't want to move out of their house. That's gotten harder. There's things have changed, but the race experience has stayed the same, and it's very nice here.
And before we let you go, give a little shout to your owners, the owners of Concrete Rose, Ashbrook Farm. And again, we alluded to Bo a little bit earlier, but talk a little bit about the owners and the relationship you have with them.
Well, put it in a nutshell, I worked for Bo's father before Bo was born, and that doesn't happen a lot. And worked for him for, it's been 30-some years probably, I don't know the exact date, and then Bo came along, and he's taken it over, and he kept me. He inherited me, and he could have kicked me to the curb, and he didn't, and now he's buying all the horses. He does all the hard work and sends them to me, and it's really been amazing that the second generation of them has stayed with me.
And just before I let you go here, one last question on Concrete Rose. I know it's always kind of a one shot at a time kind of thing, but presuming you're kind of working back from the Breeders' Cup, what will be the game plan after tomorrow with Concrete Rose?
I'm really one of those one at a time. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how tomorrow will go, if it goes good. I mean, there's one more in this series, and I would think that's where we would go if it goes well tomorrow, and if she comes out of it well.
That's right. This is actually what the Triple Tiara, they're calling
Correct.
It. The boys have the series that's coming up on the weekend as well, and this is the second leg for both the boys and the girls.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Concrete Rose really has been phenomenal so far throughout their career. She's tomorrow in race number 9, Saratoga Oaks. Trainer Rusty Arnold, appreciate the visit. Good luck not only with her, but through the remainder of the meet.
Anytime. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the visit. All right, we'll take a break. Mike Welch, Daily Racing Forum, will get some of his thoughts on this upcoming weekend stakes action. Stay tuned.
Looking for a fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouthwatering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Thanks to Rusty Arnold for joining us. A little talk on Concrete Rose, who just a sensational career so far. She's in the Saratoga Oaks tomorrow. We'll hit on a little bit on that. We'll hit on some of the other stakes action coming up on a big weekend here at Saratoga with our friend Mike Welch from the Daily Racing War. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
Always like to tout also when you come in the workout reports, a great addition to your Saratoga handicapping toolbox. How the morning's going up here?
Everything's good. You know, we've had some rain, which is push some works back, so we wound up having some crazy mornings up here, especially on the weekends. I think last weekend we had 700 workers on Saturday and Sunday combined between the main track, the training track, and the turf course. So between the horses that have run and those 700, it's hard to believe anybody's left to work this week. But, you know, we've had a smattering during the week, and then we'll get crushed again on the weekend. But that's the fun part of it.
Yeah, and as I say, the handicapping reports via the Daily Racing Forum, a great way to get on board and get a little extra information, particularly up here with the two-year-old races. I always can get a little wink and a nod, perhaps, with some of the...
Sometimes it works out, and sometimes it doesn't.
But when it does, it can be very, very good. You were mentioning up in the box that you'd given Imperial Hint a nice thumbs up, which kind of tabbed folks for...
No, Chancelot. Imperial Hint worked at Monmouth.
Chancelot.
It was Chancelot.
On Sunday, which, again, gave people a little heads up on a horse that impressed over the weekend. Talk a little bit about that performance on Sunday.
Well, first, the workout was just sensational. I don't know the last time I've seen a workout that fast, done that easily. Went 5/8 and 56 and change over a racetrack that had been chewed up pretty good by the time he got out there about 9:30. And then continued out 6 furlongs in 1:11, but the internal splits were unbelievable, and he kept going, and then came back a week later and did the same thing in the afternoon. Sometimes you're a little skeptical. They work that fast, come back a week later. Maybe they're not going to repeat the race, but he did that and more so. Almost broke the track record. I remember back, Quality Road set the 6.5 furlong track record back in, I think it was 2008. I remember being here at the time, and that final time was disputed. The clockers went back and reviewed the films and kind of tried to time it off the films, and they let that record stand. Hard to believe, though, that anybody has ever run 6.5 furlongs or looked better doing it than Chancelot did last Sunday.
Yeah, on the turn, you knew the race was over, and then he just kind of like made it look easy in the stretch. And it's funny, we had Louis Carvajal in here on Sunday talking about Imperial Hint, who was impressive. At that point, you thought, oh, that's the race of the meet. Yeah. And I was mentioning, hey, your name's, given how long the record stood, your name's going to be there in the program for a long time. And then by Sunday afternoon, I thought, well, unless Chancelot comes back in the Vanderbilt next year.
Well, two different distances, so his record stood. But actually, Chancelot's 6 furlong split was faster than Imperial Hint had run the 6 furlongs the day before. But Imperial Hint's name will still be in the program.
Yeah, as I say, though, if Chancelot shows up next year in the Vanderbilt, then we may... it's going to be very, very interesting. Talk a little bit also before we move on about the 2 3-year-old races. Tax with Tacitus running second with the Spill, and then Friday, Highest Honor. And Endorsed got a little buzz running second there also.
Yeah, I mean, just talking about the Tax Tacitus race, obviously Tacitus best again. You know, for those who watched the Belmont, you knew Tacitus was the best horse there, got hung out wide, lost a lot of ground and just couldn't get up. And then the other day, stumbling out of the gate, and then wound up coming down on what is arguably a dead rail. I know there's been some, you know, arguments about how dead it was, but to me, I thought it was the worst part of the track for sure. Danny Gargan, I think, specifically told his rider to get outside in the middle. That's what he did. And Tacitus wound up coming up the rail after recovering and ran just a super race in defeat again. So anxious for the Travers, as always, but... the rematch there and the others that are going to be coming in for the race, really looking forward to the Travers this year.
Shaping up to be a
wide open division.
And we have a big weekend coming up here as well. Let's talk a little bit about, appropriately, on the weekend we're honoring Mary Lou Whitney, the Birdstone, today. For folks who don't remember Birdstone, of course, the Belmont, but the race up here, the Travers, in an incredible storm, but that didn't stop Mary Lou Whitney from going down to the winner's circle, getting soaked, but enjoying the honors after the race. So again, that they have this Birdstone on this Whitney weekend, appropriate. But a fun little field. I pulled up the Brooklyn from Belmont on June 8th. Marconi, the number one, will run first. Rocketry, who I needed for a nice pick four that day, just could not get by in the stretch. Rocketry is the number six horse, but is held off by Marconi by a half a length. And again, at the extended distance of the Birdstone, this longer Brooklyn kind of bodes well. Subsequently, they were both a little bit dull in the Suburban, but I'm going back to this race for both Marconi and Rocketry. Your thoughts on the Birdstone?
Well, I mean, look, they've run it about five times against each other. Marconi has finished in front of Rocketry every single time, but the margin has decreased with every subsequent race. So, you know, maybe today's the day that he turns the tables. Rocketry has already had experience going a mile and three quarters. Marconi has not been a mile and three quarters, but when a horse can get a mile and a half and kind of carries himself and runs with the style he does, maybe the extra quarter in this case won't mean that much. And he does, he'll get the save ground on the inside. Rocketry's got to come from the outside to start anyway, so who knows what kind of trips they're going to get. But it looks like it's going to come down to those two again. Maybe the margin will be shorter again today and Marconi will still prevail. But it'll be interesting to see. One of these days, Rocketry's going to get him.
And as I said, I was on Channel 10 last night looking at this race, and I told people, do not make yourself look by a rookie rooting the first time they come under the finish line in a mile and three-quarter race.
Exactly.
There will be. We will all hear that, though. There will be the people the first time who are kind of going at
The worst
it.
Part is when the riders
get, oh, then,
which yeah, you see happened. That has happened yeah. once in a while, and yeah. some of the riders forget that they have to go around
again. I was going to say it's funny. It's probably not for the riders or the bettors, but the winner, in quotes, kind of celebrates until he realizes everybody's still riding and going by him. And then
there's a
feel of panic.
Big oops there. I used to work at the fairs back in New England, and they used to run a mile and five-eighths, the last race every year at maybe all of them. But and a half-mile track, nice. They went around I don't know how many times. And some of the riders used to actually bring pebbles with them. They knew four pebbles. We have to go around four times. They toss one out every time around, so they didn't forget when the finish line was coming up.
That's funny. All right, let's move on to some of the other action coming up on the weekend. On Friday, a couple of nice races. We're going to take a look now at the Hall of Fame on Friday. Nice field in here. I pulled up the Penn Mile going back to June 1st. The number one Moon Colony will win this one. Casa Creed runs second. Casa Creed and Moon Colony back in this race. Casa Creed coming out of a third subsequently in the Manila. Moon Colony, however, kind of a disappointing ninth in the Belmont Derby, but that was a mile and a quarter. Gets back to the mile distance on Friday afternoon. So those two are interesting. There are a couple others in here that I think you can make cases for as well. What are your thoughts on the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I don't really have a solid opinion here. It looks like a pretty wide open race. Moon Colony and Casa Creed, the obvious two, and they're going to be bet accordingly. So, you know, if you like something, then go ahead. Don't listen to me, because I really don't have a big opinion in this.
Yeah, it's
not a race I'll be betting. I can say that.
I think it's a fun race, and we'll offer some opportunities in there. But again, I agree, it's kind of a competitive race as well.
One of those turf races where it's going to be a rider's race, and whoever works out the right trip will probably win, and then the field they'll all run back again in the next one, and someone else will win.
Saratoga Oaks, we talked to Rusty Arnold. Hey, it looks like it goes through Concrete Rose. She is phenomenal, but I did want to pull up the replay from the Cura. This is going back to May. We're going to watch Happen because this one's interesting. Aiden O'Brien comes in with a couple runners, and I think they're a little bit unknown coming in from overseas, although Coral Beach tried the Belmont Oaks in a couple starts back. But Happen, we're watching here, and it was a nice victory as she gets up to just get a close edge in the win. And again, that was the Kerr a couple starts back. Subsequently tried the Coronation at Royal Ascot in the most recent start. That's one of the tougher races really on the racing calendar in the world. She wound up sixth in there. But coming out of those two, again, the win two back, but giving a shot at that group run in Europe. Happen is maybe a little bit interesting, but they got to go through Concrete Road.
Yeah, I mean, it's her race to lose. Obviously, she runs the way she's been training, the way she's been running. Hard to look past her. The interesting horse for me in here would be Olandon for Chad Brown. Had one race in the Belmont Oaks. Couldn't get within, you know, many lengths of Concrete Rose, but it was her first race in the U.S. Now she gets the full makeover. Blinkers on, Lasix, you know, a race under her belt in the U.S. You know, I'm thinking maybe this one has a right to step up and pull the upset if anyone does in here.
All right, let's move on to Saturday. Big day on Saturday, obviously, and let's start out by looking at the Task In League, one of the more interesting races up here year in and year out. I don't know whether this year is any exception. Grade one event, $500,000, 7 furlongs. Interesting to me because of Covfefe, who just was phenomenal in the races 2 and 3 starts back, particularly the 107 Buyer and the Miss Preakness a couple starts back. Now, subsequently tries older horses in the Roxalana, went off as a 2-5 favorite, but beaten by Mia Mischief and Awestruck, and just got nipped for that second spot. But Mia Mischief, certainly a talented older horse. I'd like your opinion. I'm going with Covfefe because I've liked that horse right along.
Well, I mean, the problem with Covfefe in here, though, is Serengeti Empress. I mean, they both have the same running style. I talked to Tom Amos this morning after drawing the rail. He's totally committed to the lead. You know Covfefe is probably going to be totally committed to the lead unless something happens at the break. If these two both break running, you know, this could be another one of those deals where we saw Serengeti Empress. You know what happened to her in the Acorn when she got hooked by Cookie Dough? She did well to run second. She's liable to get the same scenario here, but Tom Amos is making no bones about it. He's going to the lead. He thinks he's faster than Covfefe. He's hoping that maybe they'll take back and not try to engage. If they engage, you know, Bellafina is obviously a major beneficiary, and so is Royal Charlotte. She's 4-4. She keeps getting better with every start. This is a big class test for her, but her numbers keep going north, her buyer numbers, with every subsequent race. So this race will maybe be decided in that first quarter mile, maybe the first eighth of a mile after they break, and to see what happens with Serengeti Empress and Covfefe. Serengeti Empress has trained very well since she's gotten up here, so I think she's sitting on another big effort. The tough race in the Acorn didn't seem to take anything out of her. So just an interesting scenario. I know you could hear that groan from Tom Amos when they drew the post for this race, and his filly got number one. So we'll just see how it plays out, but that's the key to this one.
That's the knock on Serengeti Empress. Covfefe has more the attack position being in the 3 as opposed to the 1. But it's 7 furlongs. If they do kind of fire out there, we'll know by that time they hit the turn.
You know, Serengeti Empress had her hand forced when she drew post 13 in the Oaks, and it worked out well. He decided, I got to go, and she got the lead, and she won. Now in the Acorn, same thing. She drew the rail, had to go, wound up in a duel with Cookie Dough. If she had drawn outside Covfefe, maybe he would sit back and stalk her. But from the rail, barring anything crazy at the break, she's going to the lead.
I will note the race we just saw there where Covfefe behind Mia Mischief and Awestruck. Awestruck ran third in the Shine again. Mia Mischief fourth in the Honorable Miss last week. So folks, I suppose, could look at the barometer there and make a knock against Covfefe too. I just think she's...
Well, those are older horses. These are 3-year-olds. But, you know, again, strategy-wise, she's not in a good spot, but we'll see how it plays out.
Should be a fun edition of the test. And going to take a look now at the Whitney, the highlight of the weekend. $1 million up for grabs in the Grade 1. Fun field in here. We looked at a replay of Vino Rosso in the Gold Cup a little bit earlier in the show. Preservationist won the aforementioned Suburban for Jimmy Jerkins. They were talking about going to the Woodward out of that, so the switch up in plans may be notable for that one. Going to pull up the Metropolitan Mile from earlier this year. Matoli will be the winner, but running second, number 2, McKinsey. Running third, number 4, Thunder Snow. They're both in here. I think McKinsey is going to take a lot of action off that good close-up second in the Met Mile and the nice win before that in the Ali Sheba, having the Bob Baffert name on the program as well. But what are your thoughts on the Whitney?
Well, I agree. I think McKinsey will be the favorite. I think Thunder Snow will be the second choice in here. I love the race Thunder Snow ran in here. McKenzie ran a good race too. Not a lot to choose between them. McKenzie got in a little trouble here. You see him checking in behind Thunder Snow in the blue, right behind the leader. Now McKenzie has to alter again. Thunder Snow ducks to the rail, which if I recall was the better part of the track. McKenzie comes running late. So yeah, I mean, this race goes through the two of them. Thunder Snow looked terrific this morning. He didn't get an official workout. He blew out 3/8 of a mile. I had him 40 and change, but he just looked great. His ears were pricked. He looked happy. He's doing well since he got up here. At the two prices, I'm assuming McKenzie's going to be even money. Thunder Snow's going to be closer to 2-1. I'll take Thunder Snow. Jimmy saw his preservationist. He wasn't, you know, it's only an 8-horse field, but he did draw outside. So he got the perfect trip under Junior. In his last start, he's going to have to try to work something out from out there during the opening quarter mile to try to, you know, save some ground if he can. But I'm going to take Thunder Snow would be my pick in here.
Interesting addition of the Whitney, certainly. Coming up on Saturday afternoon, again, a big weekend up here at Saratoga. Also have the opportunity to honor Mary Lou Whitney. She gets inducted in the Hall of Fame tomorrow, and then they will honor her appropriately on Whitney Day. Somebody who, I've said it many times over the past couple of weeks, she was important not just to the racetrack, but really to the whole city. All right, we'll take a one last break and wrap things up for this Thursday morning. But, Mike, before we do that, I want to thank you for visiting us. And, again, tell people on the workout report.
Yeah, I mean, DRF.com, we still sell it by the day and by the week, I believe. Not the weekend, but the week, I think. So far I think it's produced some good winners, some good payoffs on a few of them. So, we'll be out there, my crew. We've got three of us here. We got one in California. It's a team effort all the way around, and everybody has contributed some good stuff. Dave Grenning, Donald Harris, and Toby Terrell out from California. You see those California reports. So, take a look at it. At least one time, give it a try.
And I'll mention one thing about the workout reports that, you who do them are aware of and people who use them are aware of. And people are now becoming more aware of, because it's mentioned sometimes on the paddock commentary, TV broadcasts and whatnot. But when these guys work in company and they're right there, or they beat somebody who has a good performance, and so you can kind of go back and say, horse A has already done this well, horse B beat that horse in a workout. Those company lines are important too.
Yeah, we always try to put in there who horses work with if we can. We don't always know, but most of the time we do. We try to put in the riders. A lot of times the jocks will work these horses, and we try to include that information when we can. And I think those company works are very significant, especially over on a turf course. I think the turf works here over at Oklahoma are very telling. We have a lot of maidens and maybe first level allowance horses that maybe even coming on the turf for the first time. So those turf works over there have produced a lot of good stuff so far, and I expect they will the rest of the meet.
DRF workout reports. Mike Welch, an important part of that. Mike, appreciate the visit.
My pleasure.
All right, we'll take one last break. Quick break. Come back in a few. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back and goodbye. We're going to wrap things up here. I want to thank our friend Tim Wilkin, Rusty Arnold, Mike Welch, our guest this morning for swinging by and giving us a good Thursday morning here on Racing Across America. Before I wrap up, I want to remind you of some of the things that are coming up. First, just in general, always like to tout the Low Roller Contest. Swing by and play today on the front side. $40, $10 into the prize pool. You get a card that has $30 on it. You make five $2 win place and show bets throughout the day, and hopefully you have the most money of the group at the end of the day, and you pull down most of the prize pool. It's really a lot of fun. You have to think a little bit differently in your handicapping, try to find some value. The sign-up booth over in that carousel area behind the clubhouse, beyond the grandstand, About midway down the grandstand, I guess, out in the back. You won't miss it. Sign up, take a shot at the Low Roller. Andy Serling, Andy's radio show tonight at the Parting Glass. That's 8 o'clock. I say stop early because he's getting a full house down there. Lots of good guests again tonight that you'll want to swing down and enjoy. Parting Glass tonight at 8 o'clock for Andy Serling's radio show. Also tonight, 6:30, the Saratoga YMCA Jockeys versus Horsemen basketball game. That's always a lot of fun. You will be amazed at how well the jockeys play. They're athletic. So I think last year I said, watching one of the Ortiz brothers, I believe, do the behind-the-back pass and nailing another jockey dead on the run for a nice layup. There will be a couple of plays like that during the night where you'll kind of say, wow, who knew? But the jockeys now on a two-year win streak, so see if the horsemen can bounce back and get it done this evening. All benefiting the racetrack chaplaincy. Mitch Levitis from the NYRA TV department does a great job with the commentary all night long. Very funny. Last year he made some comment as I got onto the court, why I didn't have a walker or something in that. But it was he keeps it entertaining all night long. There's a halftime, there's a charity shot. I think a $500 half-court shot, and there's raffles and some swag available and whatnot. Tonight, the Saratoga YMCA for the Jockeys versus Horsemen basketball game at 6:30. Also, let me give you some of the OTB's promos. Alive for Five, an online contest today. Check out the website. Should be a lot of fun. Give it a shot. Alive for Five, that's today. CapitalOTB.com. Tomorrow, there's a fan appreciation day at the Columbia Turnpike Branch in Rensselaer. That goes from 9. That goes from noon until 5. That's tomorrow. Fan Appreciation Day, Columbia Turnpike, noon until 5. Give us our chance to say thank you to you. Tomorrow also, the Bounty Bet returns. There's well over $2,000. All you have to do to take a shot at the bounty is play the late pick 5 at Saratoga with your Capital OTB bet account. If you're the lone ticket holder on the pick 5 at Saratoga, again, just matching up against Capital OTB bet people, if you're the lone ticket holder, you pull down the entire 2,000-plus bounty. If there are multiple winners, you share in a consolation prize. Give it a shot tomorrow. Late Pick 5 at Saratoga with your Capital OTB bet account. Tomorrow there's also a Pick 5 bankroll. Mike Callahan will administer that. Check out the website to see how you can get your chance to jump on board. And don't forget, there is a live bankroll Saturday. Cut-ins all afternoon. Anthony Mormino will have the live bankroll. Hopefully he's as hot this Saturday as he was last Saturday when he had Channel Maker and Pax on top on the handicapper's report sheet. And he could juice up that bankroll. But Anthony in here with the OTB Live Saturday bankroll. You have until tonight to sign up for that. Again, that's CapitalOTB.com to take your shot at the bankroll, the Mormino, she shot at being on the Mormino bankroll team. Even if you aren't on, check out the network during the afternoon for Anthony's picks and plays. And tomorrow also, Saturday, there's also a win-a-bet contest down at the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven, Central Avenue in Albany. All right, again, thanks to the guests. More importantly, thanks to you for tuning in. Another Racing Across America in the books. It is a really nice day. The last couple of days, certainly yesterday, the humidity kind of rose as I sat in here and did the shows. It was steamy by the time we wrapped it up. Today it's nice. There's a nice little breeze, sunny. I think we have one of those Chamber of Commerce days on tap here at Saratoga with a nice card of racing as well. Not only today, but throughout the weekend, we fit on some of those stakes and hopefully whet your appetite. So get on up here and enjoy the racing here at Saratoga. If you don't get the chance to do it, stop in the racebook or one of the parlors or play via your device on CapitalOTBBet.com. But whatever you do, jump in over the next few days. Lots of great racing on tap. Wrapping things up for this edition of Racing Across America. Back in tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock for the Handicapper Support, 10 o'clock for Racing Across America. See you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track.
the Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for Life. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.